WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. President Trump said Tuesday night he's not happy about Israel's attack on Hamas leaders in Qatar, a point White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt made earlier in the day.
Unilaterally bombing inside Qatar, a sovereign nation and close ally of the United States that is working very hard and bravely taking risks with us to broker peace, does not advance Israel or America's goals.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu defends the attack. Former CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv.
Netanyahu says that the people who were targeted in Qatar are the same political leaders of the Hamas movement who celebrated on October 7th, almost 2 years ago. And so he says they deserve it, and there was an opportunity. Obviously, he's making no apology. And lately, Israel doesn't seem to care if the world condemns Netanyahu and Israel.
Five lower-level members of Hamas were killed. Poland says it found a damaged drone in the country's east after shooting down Russian drones in its airspace that were targeting Ukraine. President Trump went out to dinner Tuesday night at a Washington, D.C. restaurant, what he says would have been impossible before he deployed National Guard troops in the district. WTOP reporter Dan Ronan.
In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety.
Now, 1 month later, here are the numbers. The White House says 2,100 people were arrested, 222 firearms were seized, 50 homeless encampments were removed. D.C. police say violent crime is down almost 40% from last year, including a 53% drop in homicides. Dan Ronan for CBS News, Washington.
The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case relating to the Trump administration's tariff policies. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
This is yet another case originating out of President Trump's executive orders, and the Supreme Court has ruled on several of these cases under its shadow or emergency docket. At least this case will receive a full briefing and oral argument, premised again on the reach of Trump's executive authority.
Two whistleblowers, formerly with Meta, testified on Capitol Hill that the company suppressed child safety research regarding its virtual reality products. CBS News congressional correspondent Nicole Killian.
Meta says that it relies on parents to make sure their kids have an age-appropriate experience and points to parent-managed accounts for young users. But some senators tell me it's not sufficient, and they believe CEO Mark Zuckerberg should come back here to Capitol Hill to testify again.
Meta dismissed the testimony. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers wrap it up in Texas.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. Game 3 of the Brewers-Rangers series today in Arlington. Milwaukee losing again last night, this time 5-4. The Rangers rookie Michael Helman, the star again, with a leaping catch over the outfield fence to deny Bryce Terang a home run. And then he went out and hit his own two-run homer in his next at-bat. The Brewers have reactivated Rhys Hoskins after missing 57 games with an injured thumb. NFL, the Packers signing wide receiver Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth $13 million. Watson suffering a torn ACL early January against the Bears, expected back later this season. The Packers play the Commanders tomorrow night at Lambeau Field. Kickoff 7:15. Offensive tackle Zach Tom and guard Aaron Banks, both questionable for the game. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers played Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Kickoff 11 a.m. It looks like Danny O'Neill will again start at quarterback. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and patchy fog in the overnight and a few showers out there as well. A light south breeze. Look for morning lows in the mid-50s. Wednesday, any showers out there giving way to partly sunny skies. Highs will warm into the low to mid-70s. It's 60 at our studios.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women don't need to vote as long as they have a husband, apparently. Andrew Watkins breaks down the church that says this and the politicians who are influenced by it. Join us.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm just tired of male nudity. I don't ever need to see an old naked dude again in my life.
Yeah.
Like in the locker room, you expect to see a certain amount of nudity. Okay. Some of those guys walk around like they're, you know, proud and they're like,
yeah, they walk.
You should just not do that. You don't really want to make eye contact with anyone because yeah. You don't want to give people the wrong impression. You don't know what people are thinking.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinere on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Happy Tuesday afternoon, one and all. We've got some breaking news, and then we'll get into what is a jam-packed Tuesday afternoon show for each and every one of you. Israel has struck Hamas leadership and Qatar, which had been mediating a ceasefire in Gaza. Israel launched a strike in Doha, Qatar, targeting Hamas's senior leadership in a major escalation of its regional conflict. Explosions were reported overnight near residential areas and foreign embassies where Hamas leaders had been meeting to discuss President Trump's peace proposal. Israeli President Isaac Herzog later hinted in an X post that Hamas political leader Khalil al-Haya was among the intended targets. So I guess so much for Donald Trump solving that war in a day or two. In other national news, the U.S. has created 911,000 fewer jobs than previously thought in the 12 months ending in March. The Bureau of Labor Statistics sharply revised U.S. job growth downward, again reporting 911,000 fewer jobs created between April 2024 and March 2025, about 76,000 fewer per month. The revision highlights a weakening labor market with only 29,000 jobs added on average over the past 3 months. Again, bad job reports from last week showing that the U.S. economy has basically ground to a halt under Donald Trump's leadership. So we'll see how he continues to lie and spin that one. Trump has now today called the Epstein birthday note a, quote, dead issue. Maybe he wishes it were dead, but I don't think it's dead. In fact, I don't think it's going anywhere. He declined to discuss the letter to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein that House Democrats released yesterday, calling it a dead issue. Quote, I don't comment on something that's a dead issue. I gave all comments to the staff. Maybe, Mr. President, less comments to the staff and more comments to the American public about something that has remained front and center for many Americans as an exemplar of, yes, a two-tiered justice system. One tier for Donald Trump and cronies like him in the billionaire class, and a tier of justice for everybody else. I've talked about that frequently on this program. That's a real thing. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee posted the image to X, again, of this lewd note. I discussed it at length yesterday on this program. If you missed that, don't worry. All of our shows are podcasted wherever you like to get your podcasts. And, of course, at civicmedia.us. Senate Majority Leader John Thune today said, quote, "I don't have an observation about that. I think there's a dispute about whether that's really a signature. So, I mean, I think right now it's just going to be that that's going to be argued back and forth." That's Donald Trump's signature. There's really not a reasonable dispute about that. It's a bound book that was put together decades ago. Kind of hard to fake that. So I'm not really sure where all of this denial from Donald Trump is leading him. Remember, he sued Rupert Murdoch and the Wall Street Journal for some $10 billion, yes, billion dollars. But that's never actually going to see full discovery, is it? Because that would mean Donald Trump would have to swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help him God, and sit for a deposition. The subject of which would clearly include, what enigma was Donald Trump referring to in this letter? What secrets his pal Epstein was hiding? What are they hiding? What's this it that they're talking about, this birthday note, that is, you know, the thing that makes life worth living after you already have it all? Inquiring minds want to know, Mr. President. And I have to talk about two additional things, and I want to bring in my guest, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Jim, welcome back to the program. I want to talk about two elements of this which are truly bizarre. The first is an additional revelation that came out yesterday. This is a photograph of Jeffrey Epstein, some dude that I don't know, and likely a young woman because her face is blacked out in this photograph. They are holding a large sort of prop-sized check. It is a check from allegedly Donald Trump to Mr. Epstein for some $22,500. Now, this photograph was on a page that included some handwritten notes in this same birthday book that was created for Jeffrey Epstein's 50th birthday. And here's what the note that accompanies this picture of a big prop-sized large check, you know, typically for lottery winners, that kind of size check, that is apparently from Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein for $22,500. The note is from some unidentified guy in the book. Maybe it's the dude in the picture, who knows. But it says this: "Jeffrey showing early talents with money and women, exclamation point. Sells, quote, fully depreciated," and there is a woman's name there, and it's blacked out, "to Donald Trump for $22,000, $22,500. Sells fully depreciated woman to Donald Trump for $22,500. The handwritten writing goes on: "Showed early, quote, people skills, even though I handled the deal, I didn't get any of the money on the girl." I'm going to read the note again because what? This is from some unidentified man, a note including this check that was written by Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein for $22,500. And here's what the unidentified man wrote to Jeffrey Epstein in his birthday book about the check: "Jeffrey showing early talents with money and women. Sells fully depreciated woman to Donald Trump for $22,500. Showed early people skills. Even though I handled the deal, I didn't get any of the money on the girl." So it's funny that Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein are apparently selling women. So there was that additional bit that came out yesterday. Again, I wonder what secret thing that Epstein and Trump were talking about in Trump's love letter to Jeffrey Epstein. So there's that that I wanted to point out, and then I want to get your impressions, and I want to take two small bits of sound, because this points out the straws that are being grasped at, the inanity of the excuse-making, the stupidity of the denialism from Donald Trump. We all know he's buddies with this guy, maybe even best friends. And then House of Representatives Speaker Mike Johnson suggested that Donald Trump was an FBI informant late last week. Let's take a listen.
It's been misrepresented. He's not saying that what Epstein did is a hoax. It's a terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this stuff down. The president knows and has great sympathy.
I'm sorry, what? Just slides it. He kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant. So that was Speaker Johnson late last week. And then, oops, Speaker Johnson early this week. Take a listen to the retraction.
I don't know if I used the right word. I said FBI informant. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. This is in my lane. I'm just repeating what is common knowledge and has been out in the public for a long time. President Trump was never a hindrance to the Epstein investigation. He was trying to assist in that. He is disgusted.
Oh, so it went from informant to never a hindrance to helping. But Mike, dear Mike, if you're listening, what would be really helpful for the American public is if Donald Trump just released the files, damn it. With all of that as lengthy prequel, it is head-scratching in the extreme. Welcome back to the show. You, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays from 9 to 11 across this fine network, Jim Santel. Jim, what do you make of this? It is bizarre.
It is bizarre. It is a lot. And I will tell you, this piece that you described centrally just a moment or so ago, this document written plainly, there's a verb tense there, plainly about selling women. I think about the human trafficking cases that I used to do and others in my office used to do.
Yes.
That's the kind of thing with tracking it down, finding out who the author is, actually identifying, maybe not for public disclosure, who the woman was. That's the kind of thing that establishes the nature of the criminal activity in which you may be involved, which is quite literally, as you said, Maggie, selling women. And there's a transaction there. Something is going on there, right? And somebody knows about that. It is stunning. That's the sublime and horrifying. And then we have the ridiculous at the other end, which is what our government is now doing, and including Mike Johnson retracting all this about who's there. And the other fascinating thing is Donald Trump now has members of the White House staff, and yes, prompting the New York Times now to figure out whether or not the D on Donald and the long tail is in fact actually his signature or not. We're going back and looking at prior things he's written. That's what our government is doing now in the White House. And again, compelling the journalists to look at this. That's what this has all caused in America. It is stunning. It is shocking. And again, somebody's got to tell Donald Trump that as bad as this might be, you need to bring this to an end by, as you said, disclosing the materials. Get it out there. I often ask this, and again, it is a reflection of how little I think of my president. Whatever is in there, will it make me think less of him? Less of him? Could I think less of him? No, I could not. And so, yes, indeed, there may be some confirmation of actually some criminal activity, but we know all about this. We know the Access Hollywood tape comment. Could it be any more obscene, misogynistic, sexist, just outrageously wild than this? What more can we hear about this man that would shock us anymore? Again, the statute of limitations has run all this plainly. Get it out there. Get it done. And if you can, Mr. President, he won't do any of this, of course, but move on to other things. Maybe talk about, I don't know, education and agriculture and commerce and things that are important to the American people. And yet, there we are. There we are.
Well, and I think this remains important to the American people, and at least in my mind, rightfully so, because it is a perfect encapsulation of how the well-heeled and well-connected get away with the most heinous of crimes. Mm-hmm. And there's no debate that Donald Trump is both well-heeled and well-connected. And all of this is mounting documentary evidence that regular people can take a look at and understand that this was the worst kept secret amongst Epstein's close circle, which Donald Trump was definitively, indisputably part of. Now, yesterday we talked about the love letter, the birthday note, the fact that it referenced Enigma. Today, doing a little digging, found out that Enigma is an anagram for gamine, a French word for young girl. Interesting. and revolting. Jim is sticking around with me for this entire hour. We're going to talk about how the Supreme Court just gave a bear hug to racial profiling. It's not good in college admissions, but it's damn fine for liberty deprivations. We discuss all of this and more next. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There's so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WXCO.FM/contest-terms. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join the conversation with Jim Santel, my special guest for this hour, former U.S. attorney here in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. Please do so. All are welcome. All viewpoints welcome. But expect lively debate as well, friends. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We've been talking about the drip, drip, drip from the Epstein files, the fact that it is perfectly within Donald Trump's powers to release the whole lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. You redact victims' names, you redact victims' faces, but those whose actions may be criminal, even if the statute of limitations has run, you leave those names in, folks. And you let the public sort it out. He refuses to do that. And what we've seen, especially in these last 2 days, is much from this birthday book. And suffice it to say, as between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, it is clear that they had long, ongoing friendship that was in part based on their mutual affinity, Donald Trump's words here, for very young girls. Yeah, Jeff likes very young girls. I do too. Something along those lines. He said in media interviews from that time. And the jokes, this birthday book is just chock full of bawdy, inappropriate, dehumanizing, objectifying jokes. And I'm just not talking about sort of the jokes that you may have told that are a little off color or that maybe you chuckled at some point in your life. This is debased humor.
It is. It is.
And it is essential to recall, Jim, as you and I were talking in the break, that the butt of all of these jokes are working class women, the daughters, similar to those of folks that you may know, the daughters of people that have bosses that may be billionaires or 100 millionaires, the daughters of people that earned paychecks that weren't born with trust funds. Young women and girls. That was the butt of the joke, of the 20, 30-year running joke for Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and Donald Trump apparently as well. That's who has been victimized and now has been a survivor of these criminal acts. But even aside from the criminality, remember who they're making fun of who they are dehumanizing. It's the people that aren't in their class, right? Hillary Clinton might have used the word deplorable, but I would offer to you that Donald Trump, Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and the lot of them consider me and you and our daughters and sons to be the dispensables.
Your property.
The folks that can be just done away with and nobody really cares. Yeah, we're chattel.
Right. And once again, as I listen not only to your reporting, Maggie, but think back on these amazing accounts provided by these young women now, 14, 16, 18 years old on the steps of the Capitol. What did they also describe that, again, harkens back to, again, this is human trafficking. This is sex trafficking. But for the passage of the statute, this is criminal conduct. What are they saying? They're saying, I was enticed. I was told to come here and talk to Ghislaine Maxwell, other people, to get a job. I thought I would be advancing. And the next thing you know, Ghislaine's got her arm around me. And the next thing you know, I am, again, very vulnerable. I am young. I am unsophisticated. And I am victimized. That is classic human trafficking, sex trafficking. Everybody who's in charge of those kinds of operations does exactly what you just said, Maggie, which is treats human beings as chattel, as people who simply to be bought and sold. That's what my president was involved in. That's what my president was involved in, unmistakably.
And the word I was searching for was not dispensable, but the disposables. I mean, dispensable is a good analogy as well. But again, you worry about somebody calling some folks deplorable. I worry about someone and their actions demonstrating that they think the vast majority of Americans are completely disposable. Chattel, just those that buy and work to create their wealth and can be used in any way and then disposed of. Clearly, the attitude of the folks that wrote these letters in this birthday book, clearly the attitude of Donald Trump and others.
I think one of the most compelling videos or images of recent weeks also comes from who? Nancy Mace, leaving that hearing, right? She was despondent. She could barely speak. She could not talk to reporters. Why? Because the human being in her listened to these horrific tales from these young women, credible, plainly credible, believable. And she was not just taken aback. That's understating it dramatically. She was
rendered nearly speechless.
She was rendered speechless. She was plainly hugely emotional. I think anyone, males, females, should be when you hear this. I got to tell you once again, when it comes to prosecutions, the two that send people back on their heels, child pornography and human trafficking. Those are the ones that take people aback. Not that other crimes are insignificant. Nancy Mace saw something, heard something there that she, again, representing, if you will, in that moment, Americans and recoiling in abject horror.
Charles from Milwaukee, say hello to Jim. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Hey, Charles.
Hello, Maggie and Jim. He can't release it because he's in it. He knows he's in it. He's all over it. And there are too many really, I think, powerful people that's also involved in this. I wouldn't be shocked if the owner of the Patriots, who had got himself in a little
Robert
bit
Kraft.
Of trouble.
Robert Kraft.
Yes. It's also involved. I believe
Sorry to jump in there, Charles. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to move on to the racial profiling recently endorsed by the Supreme Court. Again, considering race as one of numerous factors for college admissions, no good. But arresting people based on race? Well, that's just fine. We'll come back after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. 855-752-4842. 855.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he's not happy about Israel's attack on Hamas leaders in Qatar. Five of them were killed. CBS's Holly Williams.
Israel and Qatar are both U.S. allies. And I think for some in the Middle East, this will look as if the United States, which for decades has been known as the world's policeman, no longer has the same power or influence that it once did.
Revisions of job market data paint a more troubling picture of the economy. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says the economy added 911,000 fewer jobs over the 12 months ending in March than first reported. MoneyWatch correspondent Kelly O'Grady.
Most of the months here are under the previous administration, only a couple under the Trump administration. And what this tells us is that the economy has been weakening for a lot longer than we have originally thought.
This is the largest ever such revision of job data. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
The Brewers wrap it up in Texas.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 3 of the Brewers-Rangers series today in Arlington. Milwaukee losing again last night, this time 5-4. The Rangers rookie Michael Helman, the star again, with a leaping catch over the outfield fence to deny Bryce Terang a home run. And then he went out and hit his own two-run homer in his next at-bat. The Brewers have reactivated Rhys Hoskins after missing 57 games with an injured thumb. NFL, the Packers signing wide receiver Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth $13 million. Watson suffering a torn ACL early January against the Bears, expected back later this season. The Packers play the Commanders tomorrow night at Lambeau Field, kickoff 7:15. Offensive tackle Zach Tom and guard Aaron Banks, both questionable for the game. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers played Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday, kickoff 11 a.m. It looks like Danny O'Neill will again start at quarterback. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Neil Diamond fans might want to start making plans for the holidays. Song Sung Blue, named after the Neil Diamond hit, finally has a release date and will hit theaters nationwide on Christmas Day. The perfect day to give us a reprieve from Christmas tunes. The film is based on a true story of a Wisconsin-based couple who formed a Neil Diamond tribute band called Thunder and Lightning. Mike and Claire Sardina were down on their luck musicians living in Milwaukee. Once they started performing together and singing those feel-good Diamond tunes, they became a local phenomenon. The film is based on the 2008 documentary of the same name by Greg Coe. The film has serious star power. The cast is led by Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, with an ensemble that includes the Sopranos' Michael Imperioli, Ella Anderson, and Jim Belushi. Song Sung Blue is directed by Craig Brewer. Go to YouTube and check out the trailer, waiting with bated breath to find out if Sweet Caroline will be in the film. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the...
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and patchy fog in the overnight and a few showers out there as well. A light south breeze. Look for morning lows in the mid-50s. Wednesday, any showers out there giving way to partly sunny skies. Highs will warm into the low to mid-70s. It's 60 at our studios.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes a John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvy, writer of the new rom-com, The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some breaking news this hour. The Supreme Court has announced that it will quickly weigh the legality of most of President Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs in a far-reaching case that could determine the fate of a cornerstone of the president's agenda and alter the course of the U.S. economy and global trade. Not too much at stake. This case is fascinating. I'm going to talk more about it tomorrow. And it is fascinating because the Supreme Court may very well actually save Donald Trump from himself. I think this case presents one of the strongest instances or strongest arguments that Donald Trump has exceeded his presidential authority. There was no economic emergency. And his invocation of certain laws seems clearly outside of bounds. So we'll talk more about that today. But one of my favorite callers and listeners, CJ from Stoughton, wanted to get in his 30 seconds on the Epstein files. To begin with, CJ, I just want to say this. Sure, they should release the grand jury transcripts. It's not going to be very revelatory. The real action is in the actual FBI files and the investigatory files. And the reason for that is the criminal indictment and grand jury transcripts are focused on the criminal prosecutions of that particular defendant. But I think those should be released along with the rest of it. I know you support releasing the files, I believe. Confirm that for us, CJ, and then whatever your other comment was. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think some of it, the grand jury testimony can't be released, you know, so it's a red herring for the Democrats to squawk about it, but it legally cannot be done.
Democrats have, you know, just to be clear here, CJ, just to be clear here, it hasn't been the Democrats that have tried to get the grand jury transcripts released. It has been Donald Trump's Department of Justice trying to appease their base that wanted the documents. It wasn't Democrats. I'm just saying, sure, you can redact victim names, but that is not the point. The point is the other investigatory files. Please continue, sir.
Well, I love the fact you now care about sex trafficking, but the Biden do-nothing VP border czar Harris, 300,000 undocumented children's were.
Okay, got to jump in here because, again, the one of the rules is do not disinform. That 300,000 number has been debunked by every credible agency that has looked at that number. There is a number that is not 300,000. That is about young people who were in this country, who were being basically monitored by our immigration and customs enforcement. Okay? They didn't keep track of exactly where these kids are. That doesn't mean that they're being trafficked, CJ. It means that ICE doesn't know where they are. That's not dissimilar to Donald Trump losing track of kids and their parents when he put families and kids in cages. So if we want to talk about moral wrongs and ambiguities, yeah, is it a good thing that we didn't know where these kids are? No, of course not. But you can't jump from they don't know where the kids are to they're being trafficked. They may be with their Aunt Gertrude for all ICE or you know.
Oh, that's funny. You just want to talk over me. You don't want to hear the fact. 300,000.
Okay, well, we're not going to, CJ, unless you can actually respond to, do you agree that the files should be released?
I don't really care, okay?
And that, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, about sums up my rhetorical abilities with one of my favorite callers, CJ. I appreciate it because it's an interesting, we got to be able to have these arguments. I appreciate that. But the idea that all of a sudden you don't care when so much of what Donald Trump has been selling to his base has been QAnon-supported conspiracy theories and Pizzagate and the human trafficking by Democrats and these elites, and I'm going to drain the swamp. Well, there is a swamp that needs to be drained, and it is the swamp, the moat that has been protecting Jeffrey Epstein. And if Donald Trump doesn't have anything to hide, since he ran on this issue, since his base was motivated by this issue, which was not true for President Biden, then why doesn't he release the files? That's the hypocrisy that we're trying to face and understand. And especially given the implications of the birthday book and the photographs and Donald Trump's recorded public statements about his close friend Jeffrey Epstein, it's not a dead issue and it ain't going anywhere. So if he's got nothing to hide, the only way to prove that to the American people is by releasing the files. Jim, your reactions to CJ's comments.
And that can be done tomorrow. Again, tomorrow. These are not grand jury materials. All that has to happen is for Pam Bondi, who's plainly looked at them, she's already obviously spoken with the president, as has Todd Blanche, the deputy attorney general, told him way back in the springtime that his name is there. Remember this?
Right.
We know it's there. We don't know what the dimension of that is. But the bottom line is, this is, you got it just right, Maggie. You know this well, as do I. These are not protected by Rule 6E. It is material. Much of it is probably electronic. But yes, you can reduce it to paper if you want to do that as well. It's probably tens of thousands of pages, the most great majority of which is probably also not especially interesting. But among that, you will find, obviously, people who have engaged, who have referencing the event or the item that you talked about earlier, who are the transactional people who paid for young girls. Those names will be there. They will be there because that's a part of the investigative work called 302s or the FBI's reports.
Yep.
Those kinds of things can give you an awful lot of an idea about, number one, the extent to which these young women are truthfully describing things, and they were. And number two, who else is out there? And I think you hit it right on the head. And maybe Donald Trump's name is there, and others also, whose names we probably do know, and probably this is about protecting them from that disclosure. America should know this. He should get this out and be done with this, and let us see all of that, right?
Yeah. And at least what I've seen is that Jeffrey Epstein didn't traffic and sexually assault immigrant children.
Right.
He liked them white and American, but poor and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So again, it's avoidance of the issue of the day. In reference to past failings of Joe Biden, I don't remember Joe Biden writing Jeffrey Epstein a note that's like, hey, we're enigmas. We have everything we could possibly want, but we have a secret about what really makes us happy. Boy, pal, here's to every wonderful day with more wonderful secrets. I missed that letter from Joe Biden to a convicted child sex abuser and trafficker. Like, that's the difference. I mean, amongst other things. Listen, we've got one more caller. Want to get Mark from Prairie du Sac in. Mark, say hi to Jim. Folks, if you want to get your last 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Mark, say hi to Jim. What you got for
us? Hey, Mark.
Hey, Jim. Every one of these guys is on this list. All these guys, they've declared droit de signor, the right of the Lord to have access to any woman they want, and in this case, any girl they want. And I want to know each and every name, and each and every one of those names should be touted out there. And if they're guilty of abusing young girls, hang them out to dry. I don't care if it's the owner of whatever, that hang them all out to dry, for God's sake. It is just, these guys cannot get away with this stuff. These, you know, that young women have committed suicide over this, and women are still suffering over this, and that they need to be hung out to dry. I don't care how high up it goes, who's involved in this. Every single name needs to go out there, and the people that are protecting these people, if Pam Bondi is protecting these people, she is nothing more than a pedophile protector. Anybody who's protecting these pedophiles is protecting them, and they need to be hung out to dry.
Couldn't agree with you more, Mark.
Hear, hear.
Speaking of hanging out to dry, Justice Brett Kavanaugh has decided to hang out to dry both the Supreme Court's integrity and at least what I thought we all were trying to agree to was a bad thing. That discriminating against people because of their race, especially when accompanied by other pretextual, other sort of what I'm going to call proxies for race, like the language that someone might be speaking or where that person happens to be standing when they're looking for a job, that racial discrimination in this country is bad. And in fact, in the SFFA versus Harvard case from two terms ago, where this Supreme Court said that race can no longer be considered as one of many factors by universities in their admissions process, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it. But that same Chief Justice, joined by the other five conservatives on this Supreme Court yesterday, said that race is fine to consider amongst other factors when you're going to arrest people. Kavanaugh saying that while, quote, apparent ethnicity alone cannot furnish reasonable suspicion to detain, a court could count it as a, quote, relevant factor when considered along with other salient factors. That's still racial discrimination, according to the Supreme Court's own recent precedent, a decision signed down to by the same five judges who in this decision say racial discrimination plus other things is just fine. Jim, am I missing something here?
Not at all. The inconsistencies, the incongruities, the hypocrisy is just dripping. And so what you've got is Brett Kavanaugh saying, yes, race alone may not provide reasonable suspicion. And your accent, your Spanish language you're speaking, where you are, if you're a day laborer, if an agricultural site, all those kind of your clothes has individually, none of those supports reasonable suspicion. But let's put them all together. You put all of these zeros together and you come up with a 100, and then you can justify going out and detaining and arresting people. I think it's stunning. In addition to language you just read, he also says this: about 10% of the people in LA are illegal in the United States, meaning 2 million illegal immigrants out of a total population of 20. What he's saying is, okay, if you go out and you grab 100 people, chances are you got 10 of them who have engaged. That is not America. That's not how law enforcement works. And you and I and others have taught this to law enforcement folks for years. It is reasonable suspicion based upon a reasonable belief that this person is engaging in something that's unlawful. Not
according,
by putting together.
I mean, that's right. Here's the deal, Jim. According to Brett Kavanaugh, what I see in yesterday's ruling is that Korematsu is a good Supreme Court precedent.
Right.
Because he makes this statistical argument that, like, well, 10% of Californians are not here legally. And so what? You just round up everybody that's in California that has brown skin, speaks Spanish, or speaks with an accent, that doesn't go to work in a fancy car and a suit? That's Korematsu. That was the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, an abomination in our nation's history. I don't know how to read it any other way.
Yeah. Exactly. And Korematsu, as we both know well, as your listeners, John Roberts has been bending over backwards for years, dropping footnotes about how Korematsu is no longer good law. And so if it's no longer good law, John, how can you join in this kind of an order? It is just so stunningly
bad for America.
Again,
Korematsu is alive and well as good precedent in these United States, according to the Supreme Court yesterday. Unbelievable. The phone lines are open. We're going to go to the phones as soon as we take care of a little bit of business. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and me, Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. The discussion continues on the other side right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
J. join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's Civic Media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at SCORE.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined this first hour by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Always happy to have Jim along with me to try to make sense of the week's legal news, as there is so gosh darn much of it.
It's a lot.
And don't forget, folks, we have Stacey Abrams. Oh, my goodness. The indomitable, I called her. The irrepressible, the unsinkable Stacey Abrams joining us at 5:30. You're not going to want to go anywhere. I have been so excited to talk with Leader Abrams. As soon as I knew she was coming to Madison for Idea Fest, she is speaking before that group tonight. So cool. So don't go anywhere. Of course, at the top of the hour, we're going to have a special guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to be talking about the race to the bottom in gerrymandering. Today, the House of Representatives in Missouri adopting the mid-decade gerrymandered map that Trump wants so he can basically cheat his way to keep control of the House. Yeah, so that's happening. What do we do about it? What's the off-ramp? Well, we're going to be talking with Greta Bedakovich at 5 o'clock about just that, and then Stacey Abrams. Let's finish out this hour strong, folks. Get your calls and texts in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We got Matt from Dane County. Matt, say hello to Jim. What's your thought or question this afternoon?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Maggie. I only heard a few minutes of the show, so I apologize, but I did hear a particular troll that I've heard a long time ago on many different shows calling in trying to justify the things that Republicans do. So I have a question. Does GOP stand for gross old pedophile, or does it stand for giving out pardons, or both?
It seems these days, Matt, you could always call in with that when you got a zinger for us. Gross old pedophiles giving out pardons to police, cop beaters, and the like seems to be the rule of the day, which is why it makes Donald Trump's alleged claimed PR campaign that he cares about safety in blue cities completely and utterly obviously nonsense. Of course he doesn't. This has never been about crime. It's only about crime because it gets people really agitated. It's only about crime because you can very carefully cherry pick individual cases that are horrifying, that everyone agrees. If someone who's here illegally killed this person or beat someone or did this terrible crime, of course they should be deported. Nobody's debating that.
And they are deported. They have been deported, right?
That's right.
But our system works as to those people.
It distracts us from the fact that the Supreme Court and Donald Trump are saying we can basically round up anybody we want. If they're the wrong color, speak the wrong language, or English with the wrong accent, and if they have the wrong kind of job. This kind of racial profiling has happened before in history, folks, and it wasn't in robust democracies. I'll just say that much, Jim.
Sonia Sotomayor says exactly that. She says, we should not have to live in a country where the government can seize anyone who looks Latino, speaks Spanish, and appears to work a low-wage job. She's joined, of course, by Ketanji Brown Jackson, Lena Kagan. She says, rather than stand idly by while our constitutional freedoms are lost, I dissent. And once again, you and I recognize she doesn't say I respectfully dissent, which is usually what the language is. I dissent. She is letting people know that she is angry about what has happened in America.
And here was the other thing. What is interesting about the ridiculously hypocritical, well, we can use race to lock people up and deport them, but again, not in college admissions. That would be terrible. Opinion from Kavanaugh yesterday is that he doesn't say how someone can prove their citizenship status. He doesn't say how someone could rebut the reasonable suspicion based on their race, their accent, and where they happen to be standing and the type of clothing they have on. He doesn't explain any of that. And that means that Latinos, not just in California, but I would argue all across this country, basically now have to bring their papers with them. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this in history when you had to bring your papers with you when you went places? Here's what she wrote. The government, and now the concurrence, has all but declared that all Latinos, U.S. citizens or not, who work low-wage jobs are fair game to be seized at any time, taken away from work, and held until they provide proof of their legal status to the agent's satisfaction. If you remember, deportation, quote-unquote, administrative warrants can be signed by any immigration officer, any FBI, frankly, anyone that works in federal law enforcement almost anywhere on any basis that they think is enough. And now, since it's your color of your skin, your accent, and where you might be standing and what kind of clothes you have on that makes you seizable, what if you don't have your papers and you're a citizen? Well, we'll just lock you up anyways.
Right.
And what if you don't have your papers and you're a citizen and we lock you up and then we fire up the plane and they ignore the judge's orders to not let the plane take off and we just send you to, I don't know, South Sudan or CPAT. Yes. And just by the way, I'm going to get to this in just a few minutes. One of the bits of breaking news today is that the agreement between El Salvador and the United States for holding people in this concentration camp in El Salvador was finally made public. And what is absolutely an abomination is that in nowhere in that agreement does the United States try to ensure that people would be treated under the same standards of confinement that would apply in U.S. territories. And its omission indicates the intention was never to actually hold people in even the most baseline humane conditions, but instead to subject them to what I will call torture in El Salvador. Folks, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much to Jim Santel. Stay tuned. We discuss...
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Israel targeted Hamas leaders in Qatar, killing five lower-ranking members. President Trump says he's not thrilled about the attack. CBS News correspondent Holly Williams.
The blast in a residential neighborhood was caught on security camera. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called it a surgical precision strike.
Israel acted wholly independently.
Hamas is designated a terror organization by the U.S., but its political wing operates openly in Qatar, making negotiations easier. Qatar is a vital U.S. partner and a mediator in ceasefire talks. It condemned the attack on its soil as criminal.
A just-released analysis finds the U.S. is losing thousands of manufacturing jobs.
A new analysis from the Center for American Progress finds that in August, employers shed